As my wife Jenny is fond of saying as well, it's all going to burn. So, fretting over. It's like we like having a nice yard and everything, but, and I hope I'm not picking on anybody here today. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings, but man, we know some people who've spent half their life trying to make their yard look like something in a magazine. And they're thinking, you know, I don't know what goes on inside that home or anything, but a lot of that time could have been spent on their marriage and their children and whatever else for something that, and I've seen this, one particular man had his yard looked like something out of Good Housekeeping or whatever. He died and 2 months later you couldn't even tell. You see, why put so much time into something that is so fleeting? That's what people do. They fret and they waste so much of their lives on this stuff. So it comes down to verses 29-30, and seek not ye what ye shall eat. We've got that taken care of downstairs, amen?
Amen.
Or what ye shall drink. We provide plenty of water and coffee and tea and everything here. But we're not fretting over it. Neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. You know, that's what wars are about. Wars are about territory, for the sake of power, for the sake of trying to have prosperity in their country. And the nation never can get to a point where they don't think they need more. And that's what causes wars. It also cause wars in your marriage. It'll cause wars in your churches. If you can't be content. So do what you're supposed to do and trust God. The world doesn't do that. And as Christians, we shouldn't look like the world. Understand that the world acts that way. And finally, we see that Jesus is talking about balance and priorities. Balance and priorities. That's what really this is all about. Read verse 31 again with me. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. First of all, we already talked about the balance issues, not fretting, not pushing yourself into a nervous breakdown, but the priority. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God in His kingdom first, and He'll take care of the rest. I'll give you a second to let that sink in, because you can ignore me, but you're ignoring Jesus, and that's the problem.
Amen.
It's not ignoring me that's the problem.
You can put that to the test.
Look at your life. Am I seeking the kingdom of God first? I didn't say, and Jesus didn't say, are you seeking the kingdom of God at some point, part of your life or whatever. But is that your priority? That's the question. Scripture with Scripture, worried about tomorrow. How do you know there'll be one? Think about all the time worrying about tomorrow and worrying about this and worrying about that. You don't even know if you're going to have that tomorrow.
Yeah,
I want to look over at James chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews, James. We're studying James on Wednesdays. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get grain. See, they got it all figured out. Read verse 14 with me. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Think of all the people that have lived. Some of them lived, who was it we were reading about, lived 130 years of age just yesterday or the day before. You can live up to 130 years and yet Within a few years, you're all but forgotten. And you think about just, we'll go back to what I believe of the fall happening about 6,000 years ago. In that 6,000 years of human history. How many people have existed that you and I don't even know existed? Almost all of them. I mean, by percentage, it's 99.99999% of the human population that you and I don't even know who they were, that they even existed. See, the important thing is where you are with God. The important thing is where you spend eternity. And then you do what you do on a daily basis in order to be obedient to the one that matters. In order to please the one that matters. As I always say, if you're pleasing God and others aren't pleased with you, they need to get over it. You're pleasing God of all things. If you can't be pleased by somebody who's pleasing God, you've got problems. Amen? And verse 5, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So you don't even know about tomorrow, so why waste time worrying about it beyond what's necessary? And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus added this when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. I love this last sentence. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So seeking the kingdom of God, how are you going to seek the kingdom of God? Jesus also, again, he's our authority. And Jesus said it begins with a new birth. Look over at John chapter 3. As we're going to close this up here in just a moment. But John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. As you turn there, I'll read, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus really wasn't impressed by the flattery. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? You cannot see. You want to seek the kingdom of God? You can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he's a naturalist. He's thinking about the flesh. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Read that with me. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When your mother gave birth, well, this happened to your mom too, but when your mom was giving birth and it was time for you to come out, guess what she said? My water's broke. You got to be born of water and come into the world in the first place. And then it says, and of the Spirit. If you're not, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You want to seek the kingdom of God? You've got to be born and brought into this world in the first place and born again. Amen. I know some people who think they get, and they don't get it from Scripture by any means, but they think that that just means when they have kids. They'll say, I'm born again when my son was born. Charlie had a son, and this guy would say, what? I was born again when my son was born. Thankfully, Charlie doesn't believe that. Why? Because Charlie was born again before he had a son. And there are people who never have children who are born again. So it doesn't have anything to do with procreation. It's you. You must be born again. That, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Read verse 7 with me. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now you may look at me and say, oh, you Baptists or you evangelicals, you fundamentalists, whatever you want to call me. I prefer being called a Bible believer. That's why we call it Bible Believers Fellowship. You people and your new birth, born again stuff, I don't believe in that. I said, well, that's fine, but you think Jesus is stupid then. So why don't you just tell everybody that you think you're smarter than Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said, ye must be born again. And guess what? On Judgment Day, who's going to be sitting on that throne judging? Jesus. Not you. Jesus. So whose word's going to matter on that day? The words of Jesus. And you think you're going to get up there, you're not going to say a word. You're going to be standing before the king on his throne, and he's going to ask you, why didn't you believe my word? Why did you reject my word? You're not going to have anything to say. Of course, you can take care of that now, amen? Amen. If you're not born again, be born again. Amen. I know we have visitors sometimes, I'm afraid they think we're going to bring out the snakes. It's not anything like that. And I know a guy who I believe was saved, and he came to me and said, well, I don't think I was saved because I didn't cry. I said, where did Jesus say you must be born again and cry? Well, I didn't have an experience, and I didn't feel anything. Where does it say you must be born again and feel something? This isn't about your feelings, it's about faith. And faith in who? In Jesus. Why? Because he came and died for your sins. You might have noticed it's a little Christmassy around here. If you look on the walls, and that's because we had Christmas in July last Sunday. And so we were talking about how to decorate, and Jessica's like, just leave it up. I like it. I said, well, okay. Well, less work. I'm not going to say no to that. But why? Well, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be Christmas. 365 days out of the year, we should think about Jesus being born of a virgin because he came as the sinless Son of God and died after living a sinless life, died in your place to pay for your sins. It can be Christmas 365 days a year, and my wife will tell you, a lot of times she thinks it is around our house. We have less than 150 days to the real thing, but we have Christmas every day when we think about Jesus. That little baby, that little Bronwyn here, and driving home from North Carolina today, Annalene, with Bethany and Pedro. These daddies and mommies get to hold that little baby. And I ask every new parent every once in a while, just in case they haven't thought about it, I say, you ever think about the fact Jesus was once like that? Jesus came as a little baby just like that. So he could grow up and die in your place and pay for your sins. It's an amazing thing. But when he died on the cross, I believe he paid for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says that. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the whole world. But appropriation to that only belongs to those who will believe on him, trusting in what he did for their sins, and then they're born again at that moment. That's what the Bible says. And it's not about fireworks or anything. You're born again in the Spirit. The Spirit of God now comes to reside in you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then from that point, you begin to grow and you start to learn what you need to know about your relationship with the Lord, about being born again. But that all comes as a result of being saved. Around here, we like to say, we work not to be saved. We work because we are saved. Funner when you use your pirate voice, but we'll do that some other time. There's a lot of so-called Christian churches that don't really believe the Bible, and so you're not going to hear anything about the resurrection. I told the story. I was in between churches, and me and the girls went to a United Methodist church on Easter Sunday, which is supposed to be about the resurrection. I knew that we were in trouble when we walked in this real nice Methodist church, and all over the walls were these big butterflies. Everywhere, butterflies. And I said, "Greg, don't get judgmental. Be liable to still hear something good." Because the person who had invited us said, "Oh, our United Methodist Church is one of those, we really do believe the Bible." So I thought, well, great, you know, I'm in between churches, we'll go. And they had, you know, given us a nice invitation. So she didn't mention that her pastor was a reverend woman. Okay, so I'm seeing butterflies. The preacher's a woman, and I hadn't smoked anything. Okay, just think about that. Then she goes into this thing, and it doesn't have anything at all to do about Jesus Christ being risen from the dead, conquering sin and death. It was, though, she did use the word resurrection. She said, "The resurrection," without any real reference, says, "it's sort of like a cocoon. And when the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, it's a beautiful butterfly." Of course, I'm thinking of the Disney, "I'm a beautiful butterfly," you know. And she says, "That's what we're here to celebrate today. All of you can be beautiful butterflies." I just sat there. I mean, you can just picture me sitting there, just looking at her like, "You have got to be kidding me." And I wanted to stand up and just start preaching, but sometimes I behave.
"For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.